Welcome back. This is episode 516 of the NYYST podcast. We are presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian. It is a beautiful Sunday morning here in North Jersey. It looks like spring is ready to finally spring here, as we're going to get temps in the mid-60s all the way up to touching 80, maybe, possibly by midweek here, before it gets cold and rainy again. But we'll get a few days of enjoyment out of it, which is a welcome departure from this horrendous winter that we've had to endure here in New Jersey, in this metropolitan area. So I'm going to be out there enjoying this. I'm going to be getting my runs in, because running season comes a little bit early this year. A lot of you know that I do participate in the Rocky Run down in Philly every November this year. So running season for me usually starts in September as I get ready for that. I do a little running when I'm down on vacation in the end of July, just to kind of get out and enjoy the nice weather down there and, you know, stay active while on vacation. But real running season starts for me in September. But this year it started this past week, because the Yankee Stadium run is in May of this year, and I have signed up to do it. I'm really excited about it. It's going to present a different challenge than the Rocky Run does, because there's some steps involved, as I saw from last year's run. So we're getting ready and ramped up for that. I believe it's on May 16th. The Yankees are in New York, actually, the day of the run, but they're playing the Mets in Citi Field. So little Yankee Stadium run in the morning, battle the Mets in the evening. Should be a fun day. My producer and hopefully soon, wink, wink, co-host, Chris, is also signed up for a run. So NYYST will be out and represented at this Yankee Stadium run. Last year, they did it the week after the Rocky run, which I battled with whether or not I was going to do it. Because I was like, it's only another week to keep yourself going. It'll be fun to do it. But then I was like, it's another week to keep yourself going. You know, and the Rocky Run is something that I peak towards. You know, it's like, this is what everything is worth. All the effort that you're putting into. And then, you know, it's a big dump after you're done. It's like, there we go. And then to keep going another week, I decided against it. And it was a pretty crappy day, I believe. Really cold and windy. Which can happen in the middle of November. So I was like, I'm glad I didn't do it. And then I saw that they moved it to the middle of May, and I'm like, we're doing it this year. It'll be fun to do something in the springtime, chill out during the summer, and then in the fall, get ready for Rocky. And that was my thought process on it. And then I got out there on, I want to say Thursday, and I was like, you are the biggest moron possible that you're deciding that to not only do one run, but two runs this year. But hey, you know what? The weather's been pretty crappy out here the past, not crappy, but better. You know, 40s is much better than it's been, but it's still not, for me, what I consider optimal running weather. It's still a little chilly, a little windy. But this week we'll get a couple in where it's near 70, so that should be a lot of fun. But if you're wondering why I'm wasting time telling you about my running schedule for 2026, it's because we really don't have a ton to talk about this week. The Yankees are a shell of themselves in camp right now, with a lot of the team, I believe 11 or 12 players, have departed for the WBC. And you see lineups being run out there where, you know, you have Jason Dominguez and Trent Grisham as the major league. Well, we don't have to go down to Jason Dominguez road, but the notable representation for this team here. And just really kind of keeping everybody still in camp healthy and keeping the guys in the WBC healthy. We're going to talk mostly about the WBC today. And if anything Yankee-wise pops into my brain, we'll talk about that as well. This might not be the most in-depth or longest show in the history of NYYST, but that happens sometimes. And we'll get through it the best we can, as we always do. But before we dive into what we're going to talk about today, please subscribe to the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. You don't want to miss any new episodes of the NYYST podcast. I got a really, really big one planned for next week. Longtime listeners, OG listeners of the NYYST podcast probably know the big spring show that we do. Okay. And it's coming next week, so you don't want to miss that. Hopefully, we have some guests to join us in the breakdown of these projections. Oops, did I let it slip? But yeah, it's the final one ever, guys, so don't miss it. And don't miss any new episodes of The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky. There's two episodes to go. Well, only one for me because episode 9 covering Creed 2 is already in the can to be released Wednesday. And then all that's left for me is the final bell of that podcast. And it's been a lot of fun to do. It's been a challenge to do. Hopefully everybody's enjoying that. So check that out. And you won't miss any new episodes on Wednesday nights if you are subscribed on this podcast platform. Also, leave us a 5-star rating and review on this podcast platform. As you guys know, this is the final season of NYYST. We'd love to see some love on the way out the door here and making 2026 the best season ever for the NYYST podcast. You know, I say that all to myself all the time. Like, we're gonna make this the best one ever, and then we're gonna close the books on this thing. Yeah, even if it is, and people are like, guys, this is the best one yet. It's over. When the Yankees say goodbye to the season, and hopefully it's down the Canyon of Heroes, we will either do fan therapy or hopefully for the first time ever, the celebration of the 28th World Championship on this show. And then we're going to do Keep 'Em Dump 'Em Week 1. We're going to do Keep 'Em Dump 'Em Week 2. And then we're going to say goodbye. So once the Yankees are eliminated or hopefully win the World Series, there will be 4 more episodes of this podcast. And then it's time to do something else in life. And that something else is the Bronx or Nowhere, where I've been in contact with Pete this week. And the official start date, the official debut episode of the Bronx or Nowhere is going to be March 19th, live on NYY Underground. So please subscribe to the U on YouTube and you won't miss any new episodes. And please tell everybody we are still the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. You'll see your neighbors out there this week. Everybody's going to be having a good time in the nice weather. So you might as well tell them why you see them out there. All right, so like I said, not a lot of Yankee news to talk about. Oh, you know, Carlos Rodon is going to start facing hitters this week, which is a good sign. Hopefully he's not too far behind once everybody breaks camp, and he's more of a late April situation. Gerrit Cole was in love with Carlos LeGrandjé this week. He said that his velocity is silly. LeGrandjé is averaging 100 miles an hour on his fastball velo in camp right now, which is awesome. And again, it brings the point of what are the Yankees going to do with LeGrandjé? Are they going to continue to develop him as a starter, or are they going to see a need in the bullpen? Because I think once Cole is healthy, once Rodon is healthy, you'll have Cole, Rodon, Warren, Heel, Schlitler, Max Fried. Then you'll have a full rotation there, and it's just like, okay, well, you also have an Elmer Rodriguez coming around, and Dave, I'm going to call. I did this week. We're talking about the Yankees to somebody that I see on the reg, and he's like, David Weathers? I was like, yeah, dude, I'm just going to say it. I don't know why in my brain I don't constantly say Clay Bellinger instead of Cody Bellinger, but for Ryan Weathers, I constantly call him David. It just happens. So if I say David Weathers, I'm sure everybody knows who I'm talking about. And you have Ryan Weathers, who's impressed in camp and could be a real X factor for the Yankees and can be one of those smart type under the radar trades that Brian Cashman loves to make, where he shows everybody that he's smarter than, where he tries to show everybody that he's smarter than everybody else. I was watching something on, might have been TikTok, but from the MLB Network this week. And they were comping Weathers to Nate Eovaldi, but Nate Eovaldi's had a very accomplished major league career, just not with the Yankees. So if we get post Yankees Nate Eovaldi from the left-handed side with Ryan Weathers, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. But if we get Yankees Nate Eovaldi with Ryan Weathers, then no, I don't want to sign up for that. Nate Eovaldi always flashed the ability here, just couldn't stay on the field. And then he's been a horse and a guy that's been one of the more underrated pitchers in the game since he left the Yankees. So if we get that from Ryan Weathers, then yeah, I'll take that. But no, I don't really like the Yankee Nate Eovaldi comparison because I think we all know that did not really work out particularly well and end it with Tommy John surgery. So hopefully we can avoid that with Ryan Weathers. So there are lesser opportunities in the starting rotation for the Yankees if everybody stays on track and stays healthy. And I truly do believe still at this moment that the Yankees' biggest question mark in on this team is going to be their bullpen, especially when you see that everybody's going to need bullpen help come trade deadline season. And it's going to be harder to acquire. I mean, they did a good job revamping the bullpen last year, bringing in Duvall, bringing in Bednar. Obviously, Bird flopped, but he's another guy that's going to be around this year. So instead of having to go out there and make a trade to bring in a guy that is averaging 100 and has the strikeout stuff that LeGrand has, that is getting the blessing, if you want to say that, of Gerrit Cole, that's definitely something intriguing for the Yankees to put this young flamethrower out there in the bullpen through the stretch run here, maybe a little bit earlier than that, and just say, hey, you know what, we're going to commit you to being a bullpen arm here in 2026. And then the uncertainty of Bednar, because I believe he's hitting free agency at the end of this year. You're going to be searching for a closer again. Is this something that you do? And if you're going to do this with LeGrand, I think you have to make the commitment to LeGrand and not Jabba him. Because the Yankees were, with Jabba Chamberlain, was so back and forth, starter, reliever, starter, reliever, starter, reliever. And he was never, tr he was, the bugs in Cleveland ruined him. And then the fact that they wanted to make him a starter in 2008. I mean, the bugs were really the downfall with Jabba. And then in 2008, with the Jabba rules, and it was just never the same after that. So they saw what they had that was special there. And even though Mariano hung on for another 5 years, they should have just kept him in the bullpen and said, listen, continue down this path. You'll be an elite setup guy. You'll be the heir apparent to Mariano Rivera. And maybe that would have changed the course of Yankee history. Maybe that would have changed the course of Jabba Chamberlain's major league career. But him as a starter didn't work. The rules didn't work. And, commit to one. Honestly, if that's my biggest takeaway from this whole thing, commit to one thing with LeGrand. If he's going to start all year and then you're going to put him in the bullpen because his innings are getting high and you recognize that you have a weapon at your disposal, that's one thing. But if he's bullpen all season, let's just say that's the decision that they make. Then that should, let's not play games here and ruin the potential of another what could be for the Yankees. So that is what I'm looking at right now in Yankee camp is the development of Carlos LeGrand, the development of Elmer Rodriguez, and just staying healthy, man. Just this team has to stay healthy. They stay healthy, they'll be there at the end of the regular season, for sure. They're going to the postseason. A healthy 2026 New York Yankees, despite all the run it back 26 jokes, are going to be a playoff team in 2026. The question always remains, is run it back 26 good enough to win a World Series? And right now, I can't confidently say that it's good enough to even get them to the ALCS because this team did not get there last year. And that's what it's all about. Is winning the World Series and doing something that Aaron Boone has never done and Aaron Judge has never done, and that's win a World Series. And Aaron Judge needs that for his legacy, man. We know this. He's got to be that. He's got to have one ring. One changes everything. One is a lot bigger number than zero, is when you're talking about championships. Aaron Judge needs that. And this has got to be the year for it. Talk about this a lot. Physical prime for a male ends around the age of 35. He's going to be 35 next year. How long is he going to keep being Superman? And how did the Yankees sustain him not being Superman, just being a mere mortal, being a great mortal baseball player? If you're talking about great mortal baseball players, you're like, yeah, I'll sign. Give me 10 of them. But when the Yankees rely so much on Aaron Judge being Superman, it's hard for them to make up that difference. And that's what you worry about with the New York Yankees. And that's what you worry about with, oh, Trent Grisham, is he going to hit 30 home runs again this year? Oh, you know, what are we going to get out of, you know, is Austin Wells going to take the next step? Is Ben Wright going to take the next step? Jazz at least has to be 30-30. We have to hope that Ryan McMahon can have a 720 OPS. We have to hope Anthony Volpe has a 720. There's a lot of hoping and wishing in what the Yankees have built here. And I think it's still good enough to be a postseason team, but is it good enough to be a championship team? I don't know. And that's the problem with the 2026 Yankees running it back for a team that lost in the ALDS. If they ran back the same team that lost to the Dodgers in the World Series in 2024, you'd be like, hey, clean up some things. You got there. I don't mind you trying it again. But you're running back a team that didn't get to the ALCS and hoping that something different changes. And Aaron Boone's talked about that last year was particularly tough for him because he thought he had the one of the more complete teams that he's had in his tenure here. And maybe I was falling for the YPM gaslighting last year, but I also looked at a team that I thought was hot during the end of the season, played clean baseball, especially during the end of the season, and still couldn't get to the ALCS. And that says a lot to me. Regular season wins are one thing. Yes, you need them to get to October, but winning in October is a different animal. And the Yankees still, under Aaron Boone, have not proven they can win in October. And Aaron Boone has said, you know, it was tough because I thought this was a really good team. I thought this team was, without even saying it, he said it, this team was better than the team that went to the World Series in 2024. And yeah, you know, the best team always doesn't win. Yeah. But the Yankees constantly have shown in October that if they're in the same weight class or a weight class beneath a team that they're facing, they don't compete. And that's got to change this year because there's a lot of good teams in the AL. And we probably know that they're going to be, if they are fortunate enough to stare down that barrel in the World Series, they're going to be facing the Los Angeles Dodgers in October in the World Series, trying to stop them from a three-peat. And they're going to have to punch up at some point. And this has to be the year, man. This has to be the year. Do it while Aaron Judge is still in his prime. The redemption story of Gerrit Cole coming back off of Tommy John surgery and pitching some of the biggest games of leading the Yankees to 28. It's got to happen. It's got to happen this year. So what is happening this year here, and like I said, it's not going to be the longest show ever, and we might end after this. Just wanted to come on here and get something out before the big show next week. And the WBC has started this week, the World Baseball Classic, Team America. I know it's team, just going to call them Team America. Has started 2-0 with a team. The Brazilian team didn't belong on the same field as the Americans. I think they issued something like 17 walks, and I don't think I'm exaggerating at all. They didn't belong there. They showed some fight. They kept up with the Americans through the first half of the game, but then they just showed they didn't have the pitching to remotely compete with them. Handed the Americans a ton of runs, and the thing got away, and they won 15-5. I don't remember what the final score was from Saturday's game. I fell asleep towards the end. It was 8-1 at one point. Great Britain kept up with them, and then it was Schwarber's home run, and the Americans just turned on the Jets from there. And went and won running away. Monday night they'll play a tougher test in Mexico. They really only need to win one of the next two games and they'll get into the knockout round here. So let's talk about the WBC, not so much the games. The games are fun. You see the atmosphere, especially in Japan, in Puerto Rico. The fans are into this. It's exciting. Maybe, you know, you're not getting the same type of excitement out in Houston, but you could see that people are there. They're invested in it. It's something, maybe it's just something to do. But it's, you know, it's exciting. It's the players are taking it seriously, as seriously as they can. Like, you know, Tarek Skubal was only throwing 3 innings last night because he's not built up. And then now he's there. We talked about, like, he said he's only going to throw one game, and now he's there and he's feeling the adrenaline rush of it. And he's like, well, maybe, this isn't the last you saw me in the tournament. So, the guys are there. They're having fun, representing their country, breaking up the monotony of spring training. That's why, like, I don't understand. Like, let's take the injury situations out of this for a second. Okay. Let's because that's even that hangs over my head. God forbid something happens to one of the 11 Yankees that are in this, especially ones that are going to be key contributors to this team in 2026. Obviously, then you're screaming F the WBC. We don't need, nobody wants an Edwin Diaz situation, obviously. And anytime guys get hurt, or get hit by a pitch like Byron Buxton came out of the game. And as a Twins fan, you're probably like, oh shit, here we go. It said it was precautionary. He didn't play on Saturday night. So we'll see Monday whether or not he plays, what happened. I haven't heard anything. But you get worried. You don't want to see your guys get hurt. And I understand that. Like, that's the biggest thing. And I don't want to see David Bednar get injured or Fernando Cruz or Austin Wells. I'm not even going to mention the one that we're all worried about. So yeah, I get that aspect of it. So if that's why you don't like the WBC, okay, I'm with you there. I am. Like, I don't want to see anybody get hurt playing in this thing, Yankee or non-Yankee. Like, that Edwin Diaz injury, like, as a baseball fan, sucked. Especially that it didn't even happen. It happened to him celebrating a win, blew his knee out. So let's take that aside. Let's put that aside here for a second. If you claim that you love baseball and that you don't love the WBC, I don't know that you really do love baseball. And I'm just being honest. 10 years of NYYST, we're honest here. We're not going to stop now. I don't know that you do love baseball because if you could see how the fans are invested in this and how the players are invested in it, and that it's not a boring exhibition. Like, you're going to watch 30. Is it what's more exciting to you, watching the WBC or watching another game in Tampa, Florida, or in Lakeland, Florida, or in Fort Myers, or in Port St. Lucie, or in Arizona, that you get 4 innings of a major league team and then they bring in minor leaguers or guys that are going to be bagging groceries in a week? What's more exciting? It's a rhetorical question, by the way. I hope you're not answering it in your cars listening or on wherever you're listening to this right now. So obviously the WBC is way more exciting and breaks up the monotony of spring training. That's reason one, number one, you should like it because, yeah, we love pitchers and catchers reporting because that's like, oh, baseball's back. And we love seeing them work out for the first time because it's like baseball's back. You love watching the first couple of spring training games because baseball's back. And then at 6 weeks of it, you're like, Jesus Christ, get me to the friggin' start of the season. I can't watch exhibition games anymore. I can't do it. So the WBC breaks that up. It gives us something different. A little bit of excitement in the spring. I'm all for it. Also, you talk about like the dream teams that are built. I saw a tweet from, I think it was Mark Feinstein. He's like, I'd love to compare the starting AL and NL All-Star team lineups to what the Dominican Republic is running out there. Or the American team, where they can't play Bobby Witt Jr. every day because they have Gunnar Henderson on the team. Yankee fans always wondered what a lineup with Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper would look like. We don't have to wonder about it anymore. We're more pissed at Brian Cashman now than we were previous. So it's fun. You get to see things that you don't normally get to see. It's like a tournament of all stars. And yeah, you got teams that really aren't going to compete. You probably have, five or six teams that have a legitimate shot of competing. We get it, right? So do you want to shrink it? I mean, that's always a possibility. But then you get fun stories. Like I had a post, and it wasn't meant disrespectfully. it crossed Adam Jones, the former MLB All-Stars timeline, and he's like, and it triggered him, but it's not meant disrespectfully. It just goes to show you the stories that you get out of the WBC and how much fun that it can be, that nobody would know about these guys if it wasn't for the WBC. That Brazil team had a guy that had to take leave from his construction job to go face Logan Webb in an international tournament. They had Bo Bichette's brother, Dante Bichette's kid, wearing Nickelodeon colored hair. I mean, we saw Jose Contreras' 17-year-old son get in the kitchen of the best hitter on the planet with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball getting out of a bases-loaded jam. The kid can't even ra The kid has to literally raise his hand to go to the bathroom. He's not even legal voting age. He's doing homework in the clubhouse, and he's breaking Aaron Judge's bat. And you got Manny Ramirez's son hitting tanks off of one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. And that's not exciting to you? It wasn't meant disrespectfully, Mr. Jones. It's just pointing out how wild that team is and how exciting this tournament is. And I think the majority of people have understood that. And that's what I love about the WBC. You're getting these stories. So yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for this tournament. I love this tournament, man. I'll watch as much of it as I can. The big question about the WBC, to me, is when do you play the WBC? It's not should you play the WBC. It's when do you play the WBC? Is spring the most optimal time to play the WBC? Well, clearly we've seen from the pitching side that it's not. Guys are still building up. Guys are only going to go 3 innings, 55 pitches. They're only going to be in that range there. So you're not going to get a Paul Skenes complete game shutout. It's just not going to happen. So that's the one drawback from playing it right now. Do you play it at the All-Star break? Do you take 1 year every 3 years and push the season back and make the All-Star break 2 weeks long? You don't have an All-Star game that year. You have the WBC. You'd have pitchers that are built up in mid-season form that would be able to go out there and give you 6, 7 innings. I think you'd get better games from that point of view, but is that something Major League Baseball wants to do, is to extend the season by a year, by a week, because the season's already pretty long. If you go 7 games in a World Series, you're already playing into November, and do you want to play into that first full week in November where we know the weather can get a little crazy in the Northeast here? So maybe that's not the most optimal time. Is the most optimal time to play the WBC after the World Series? I think out of the two previous options, that's the worst option. People said to me, well, why don't you play it after the World Series? So now you want guys that haven't pitched in, say, a month. Now you want them to ramp up and go pitch in a competitive situation here. That's not going to happen. Paul Skenes, he's going to come off his couch from not having pitched from the end of September to now have to go through a ramp-up process to go pitch in WBC, or you want him to now stay warmed up through October when he doesn't have to and pitch in the WBC? I can't see you're going to get great pitcher participation in that. And then let's say you got the Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series. You think now Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani and Gerrit Cole, well, he's not in it, but I'm just using big name guys. You're going to get these types of guys to want to go play in a tournament after they just played in the World Series? I can't see that happening either. And the other option is never play it, which is just a silly option. This tournament deserves and needs to be played every 3 years because it's not good for baseball. It's great for baseball. So when do you play the WBC? I don't think there is a perfect time to play the WBC because of all the reasons we mentioned. You're not going to get the best out of the pitchers in the spring. Guys are still building up to play a full 162-game season. So you're going to get limits on them, just like you'd get limits on them if they were throwing in spring. Tarik Skubal is only going to throw 3 innings because that's all he's built up to do. He's not going to go from making two spring training starts to now he'll give you 100 pitches. That's not going to happen. The major league teams don't want it. There's even rules in place in the WBC to prevent that from happening. So you're not going to get the best of the pitchers right now. It does seem to me the best option is to play it at the All-Star break every 3 years. Every 3 years, you just don't have an All-Star game. And maybe you cut the amount of teams down. That would suck for some certain teams. I get it. And this is meant no disrespect to teams like Brazil or the Czech Republic, or I can't, Chinese Taipei, maybe. Like, I'm just thinking of teams that I've seen that have not performed well so far. But to me, the WBC is about the stories of the players on those teams that are getting to compete on this international stage that they wouldn't have been able to otherwise. So maybe I wouldn't want to cut them down. But maybe you take a 2 week chunk out of the season here, like they do the Olympics in hockey, and say, all right, for 17 days, we're just going to pause the season instead of what, five realistically, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, four really, 4 days before you're back. You play on Sunday, teams are back at it on Friday. So instead of pausing it for four, you're pausing it for like 15, 16, 17 days maybe. I don't know. You probably get the best player participation. You probably get the best brand of baseball right there, in my opinion. But again, you're asking Major League Baseball to even push the season back. I said it a week or 2 weeks. You're going to be playing games in mid-November. You're going to be playing the World Series in mid-November. I can't see the Major League Baseball agreeing to that. You got parts of the country you're going to get hefty snow. You can get hefty snowfalls. The weather suck. The weather can start sucking on Halloween. Remember on Halloween this year, I was out trick-or-treating with my kid. It was like 25, 30 degrees with nasty winds. It was a miserable experience. So the weather can turn that quickly around these parts. Now, like, you want to play the World Series in mid-November? That's why I think that situation, the do it at the All-Star break, is out of the question. Unless maybe you cut the amount of teams down, maybe have an eight-team tournament, and you can do it maybe in 10 days, and you maybe not so deep into November, but still, I don't think anybody wants to be playing the World Series past that first weekend in November. So that probably limits what you can do with the WBC in season. Obviously, the worst of the ideas to me, if you're actually going to play it, the worst idea is actually not playing it at all. I think that's just people that have voted that, read the results of the poll I posted in a minute here. The people that voted never are just, they're, I hate the WBC. They're a Grandpa Simpson yelling at the cloud. So that's the worst option to me. But if you're going to play it, the worst option is playing it after the World Series. It's a lot to ask of especially pitchers and players in general. If they didn't make the postseason, to ask them to continue to play, to stay hot through an entire month here. And then go compete in a international competition like this. If you want to use major league players, obviously this thing isn't as fun without major league players. And then you got guys that have competed in the postseason and are like, do I really want to play another 2 weeks of baseball? I'm not going to sign up for that. That's something that Aaron Judge might look at as a guy that's, or Shohei Ohtani might look at it, guys that are on teams that are consistently in the postseason and consistently are playing more games in October. Do I really want to sign up for this? Do I want to play an extra 25 games in October, whatever the number is, and then go play in this competition after being in the World Series? If you're on a team that has World Series aspirations, I think the participation would be really low. It doesn't make sense. Because your people are going to say, well, Skeens, if he's going to commit and he knows he's going to be eliminated, he can just stay, active for a month. It's not the same thing. That's why I think from the pitching standpoint, it's easier for these guys, even though you're only going to get them for 55 pitches, is that they're using these as basically spring, a little bit more adrenaline-fueled spring training starts, where I think that you'll say, hey, you know what, I'd rather do this instead of making a start against, the Tigers minor leaguers, I'll throw my 60 pitches in the WBC. I'd rather do that. So I think, honestly, when you break it down, this is the best time to play it. There's no perfect time to play it, but this is the best time to play it right now in the middle of spring training. You'll at least get guys that are willing to do it because, hey, I'd rather do this than be in spring, right? Pitchers will say, hey, I'd rather do this than, or I can do this instead of making spring training starts. And a lot of guys use that All-Star break as a time to recharge. And, like, let's say Paul Skeens, I'm just using Paul Skeens because he's Paul Skeens. Let's say Paul Skeens is battling a little something. And he's like, I just need these 4 or 5 days here to just chill out here for a second. Now he's got to either pull out or just not commit to it. You don't want that to happen. So I do think, while there is no perfect time to play the WBC, the best time to play the WBC is during spring training. And I think you'll get the fans the most excited for it during spring training. Because, like I said, there's not a lot going on right now. You're dealing with the monotony of spring training. And I love baseball as much as anybody. And I'll sit there and I'll watch every pitch of 162 games that the New York Yankees play if I am able to. But watching a fourth spring training game, the boredom starts to set in because even the announcers don't give a shit. I was watching a game last Saturday, I want to say. I think it was Shackle and Curry were doing the game. Well, you would think that they were announcing this game from a funeral parlor. And I'm supposed to be glued to the TV, excited to watch this for 2 hours? No, give me the WBC in spring. Fully admit there's no perfect time to play it, but give it to me right now. Give me a little bit of juice in March here before the season starts. And we are just 17 days away from that season starting. The New York Yankees will be in San Francisco 17 days from now. Well, 16 from when you're listening to this, 17 from when I'm recording. We got 17 days left of the little bit more. We got the WBC here for another week, and then get through the end of spring, 2 weeks, and then the New York Yankees are going to be playing real baseball games out there in San Francisco. Aaron Judge is going to be back trying to defend his two-time reigning MVP. We're going to have Cam Schlittler, Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, Luis Gil, Will Warren. We're going to have by June, we're going to have the best pitching staff in all of baseball. We're going to have the best player on the planet. You hope that you're going to get contributions that you need from Cody Bellinger and Ben Rice. And I'm excited. I know what I said. It's, again, I don't care if the Yankees put the worst team on paper imaginable on the field in March. In San Francisco, I'm still going to be excited for the start of the baseball season. That will never die. Whether I'm excited again on March 27th is a different story. I'm excited for the conclusion of WBC here. I'm excited for the start of the New York Yankees season. I'm excited to complete this journey that's been NYYST sitting here, right here in front of me. I know you guys can't see it because we're not on video. This is the final schedule I will ever write for the NYYST podcast. It was a little emotional. A little. Kidding. It was a little bittersweet doing it on Friday when I sat down there to do it because I got the schedule from Pete for the Bronx or Nowhere. So trying to fill in the dates for NYYST around that. And I'm like, this is the last time I'm ever gonna do this. 10 years, man. It's been a hell of a ride. So glad and appreciative of everybody that's been on this journey, whether you've listened for 1 second or you've listened for all 516 episodes. I love you and appreciate you so much. We wouldn't have lasted these 10 seasons without the love and support of the fans of NYYST. And that's why next week is a huge show. It's one of my favorite shows that we do all year. I think you guys are going to love it. Hopefully, there's some prizes along the way here next week. Yeah, I'm excited for next week, man. I just hopefully everything comes to fruition that I want it to, and it can be just like getting back on that bike for the first time in a long time. So I think you guys kind of know what type of show we're doing and who I'm expecting or hoping will be there. But to know for sure, you'll have to listen next week. And to make sure that you don't miss next week's show, click subscribe on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. You won't miss any new episodes of NYYST, and you will not miss the final two episodes of The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky, my limited run Rocky podcast, which will be coming to an end next week. This Wednesday, episode 9, covering Creed 2, which will be the final movie we cover. And then we're ringing the final bell on that thing the following week, because then the next Wednesday is opening day, baby. It's almost like I planned that podcast to end the week before opening day. It's almost like I planned it that way. Love you guys so much. Show us some support on the way out here in 2026. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. The debut episode of The Bronx or Nowhere, the official debut, is March 19th, live on NYY Underground. So subscribe there as well. Please follow me on X at Christian_NYYST and on TikTok at Christian.NYYST. As always, love you guys. Appreciate all the support from you guys. Thank you so much for listening to episode 516, and I'll see you next time.